apart and highly prized. Holy. Perhaps you don't feel this way, and maybe for good reason, you think. Perhaps you wish some outsider could see the level of disrespect you get from your wife or husband. You may wish to expose and blame your spouse for your own attitudes that have started to sour. But that's not the issue with love. Love positively acts. It doesn't negatively react. Love rises above the cloudy circumstances and soars above the storm. It defies common self-centered logic. It chooses to honor even when it's rejected. Love treats its beloved as special and sacred, even when an ungrateful attitude is all it gets in return. It refuses to be pulled back into the hole of self-centered living. It's marvelous, of course, when a husband and wife are joined in this purpose, when they're following the biblical command to be devoted to one another in love, when they're giving preference to one another in honor. Romans 12:10. Marriage should be honored by all, the Bible says, and the marriage bed kept pure. Hebrews 13:4. But when your attempts at honor go unreciprocated, you are to be honorable just the same, seeking ways to give honor to your mate. That's what love dares to do, to say, of all the relationships I have, I will value ours the most. Of all the people for whom I'm willing to sacrifice, I will sacrifice the most for you. With all your failures, sins, mistakes, and faults, past and present, I still choose the God-honoring way to a better marriage and a better life. I choose to love and honor you. That's how you create an atmosphere in your marriage for love to be rekindled. That's how you lead dishonor out the door and then lead your heart to truly love your mate again. That's the beauty of honor. Today's dare. Choose to begin showing greater honor to your spouse above your normal tendency. Begin by listening more attentively and respectfully to your husband or wife. Let your mate see how you give greater weight to their words and requests. Show that he or she is receiving higher esteem in your eyes than before. Record your answers to these questions in your journal. How did you choose to show honor? What was the result? What are some other ways you could demonstrate honor in the coming days? I will also honor them, and they will not be insignificant. Jeremiah 30:19. Day 16. Love intercedes. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. 3 John 2. You cannot change your spouse. As much as you may want to, you cannot play God and reach into their heart and mold them into what you want them to be. But that's what most couples spend a large part of their time trying to do, change their spouse. Insanity has been described as doing the same thing over and over, but expecting different results. But isn't that what happens when you try to change your mate? It's frustration at the highest level. At some point, you have to accept that it's not something you can do. But here's what you can do. You can become a wise farmer. A farmer cannot make a seed grow into a fruitful crop. He cannot argue, manipulate, or demand it to bear fruit. But he can plant the seed into fertile soil, give it water and nutrients, protect it from weeds, and then turn it over to God. Millions of farmers have made a livelihood from this process over the centuries. They know that not every seed sprouts, but most will grow when planted in proper soil and given what they need. There is no guarantee that anything in this book will change your spouse. But that's not what this book is about. It's about you daring to love. And if you take the love dare seriously, there is a high likelihood that you will be personally changed from the inside out. If you carry out each dare, your spouse will likely be affected, and your marriage will hopefully begin to bloom in front of your eyes. It may take weeks, it may even take years, but regardless of the soil you're working with, you are to plan for success. You are to get the weeds out of your marriage. You are to nurture the soil of your mate's heart and then depend on God for the results. but you won't be able to do this alone. You will need something that is more powerful than anything else you have, and that something is effective prayer. Prayer really does work. It's a spiritual phenomenon created by an unlimited, powerful God, and it yields amazing results. Do you feel like giving up on your marriage? Jesus said to pray instead of quitting. Luke 18:1. Are you stressed out and worried? Prayer can bring peace to your storms. Philippians 4:6-7. Do you need a major breakthrough? Prayer can make the difference. Acts 12:1-17. God is sovereign. He does things His way. He's not a genie in a lamp that submits to your every wish, but He does love you and desires an intimate relationship with you. And a thriving walk with Him doesn't happen apart from prayer. There are some key elements that must be in place for prayer to be effective. But suffice it to say that prayer works best when coming from a humble heart that is in a right relationship with God and others. The Bible says, "Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another." The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. James 5:16. Have you ever wondered why God gives you overwhelming insight into your spouse's hidden faults? Do you really think it's for endless nagging? No, it is for effective kneeling. No one knows better how to pray for your mate than you. Has your scolding or nagging been working? The answer is no, because that's not what changes a heart. It is time to try talking to God in your prayer closet instead. A husband will find that God can fix his wife a lot better than he can. A wife will accomplish more through strategic prayer than from all her persuasive efforts. It is also a much more pleasant way to live. So, turn your complaints into prayers and watch the Master work while you keep your hands clean. If your spouse doesn't have any type of relationship with God, then it's clear what you need to start praying for. Beyond this, begin to pray for exactly what your mate needs. Pray for his heart. Pray for her attitude. Pray for your spouse's responsibilities before God. Pray for truth to replace lies. Pray that forgiveness would replace bitterness. Pray for a genuine breakthrough in your marriage. And then pray for your heart's desires. For love and honor to become the norm. Pray for romance and intimacy to go to a deeper level. One of the most loving things you can ever do for your spouse is to pray for them. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Matthew 7:7. Today's Dare. Begin praying today for your spouse's heart. Pray for three specific areas where you desire for God to work in your spouse's life and in your marriage. Record your answers to these questions in your journal. Have you experienced the power of prayer in the past? What did you choose to pray about? Was it easy for you, or did it feel foreign to you? If anyone is God-fearing and does His will, He listens to him. John 9:31. Day 17. Love promotes intimacy. He who covers over an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Proverbs 17:9. Who are you the closest to in life? With whom do you share your secrets? It may be a good friend you've known since childhood or college. It may be a sibling, parent, or coworker. But nothing rivals the closeness that can be experienced between a husband and wife. Marriage is designed to be the most intimate of all human relationships, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. That's why it is so beautiful and why we need it so much. We long for a best friend with whom we can share our hearts, a safe, loyal companion who gets us, understanding who we are, someone who knows our deepest secrets and yet still accepts us in spite of them. Intimacy is described as being fully known and fully loved. But sadly, many marriages lack the intimacy that God desires between a man and his wife. For this great blessing is also the site of its greatest danger. Someone who knows us this intimately can either love us at depths we never imagined, or can wound us in ways we may never recover from. This is both the fire and fear of marriage. It's why creating a very safe place for one another to open up is fundamental for intimacy to thrive. What are you experiencing the most in your home right now? Are you open books, or more like closed vaults? How much do you two really talk? How much do you trust each other with your secrets? Would your mate say you make them feel safe or scared? Especially if you've wounded one another in the past, you'll tend to be guarded and hide from intimacy. If home is not considered a place of emotional safety, you will both be tempted to seek it somewhere else. Perhaps you might look at another person, initiating a relationship that either flirts with adultery or actually enters in. You may look for a safe escape in work or in outside hobbies, something that shields you from intimacy. But regardless of your situation, love can help you rediscover intimacy with your spouse. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. 1 John 4:18. Your mate should not feel pressure to be perfect in order to receive your attention and approval. He or she should not walk on eggshells in the very place where they ought to feel the most comfortable in their bare feet. The atmosphere in your marriage should be one of freedom. Like Adam and Eve in the garden, your coexistence at home should only intensify your intimacy. Being naked and not ashamed, Genesis 2:25, should always be in the same sentence right in your marriage, physically and emotionally. Admittedly, this is tender territory. Marriage has unloaded another person's sinfulness and baggage into your life, and yours into theirs. Both of you may feel misunderstood and unloved, which is the opposite of intimacy. But today begins an opportunity to wrap your mate's private information in the protective embrace of your love and recommit to being the one who can best help him or her deal with it. Some secrets may need correcting. Therefore, you can be an agent of compassion and healing, not by lecturing or criticizing, but by listening in love and then gently speaking truth when they feel safe enough to receive it from you. Some secrets just need accepting. They are part of this person's makeup and history. And though unpleasant, these issues always require a gentle touch. In either case, you alone wield the power either to reject your spouse because of what you know, or to welcome them in, warts and all. They will either know they're in a refuge of safety where they are free to make mistakes, or they will recoil into themselves and be lost to you, perhaps forever. Loving them well should be your life's work. Consider it this way. No one knows you more intimately than God, the one who made you. The writer of Psalms 139 was right when he prayed. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down, and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. Psalms 139, 2-4. And yet God, who knows every secret about us, loves us at a depth we cannot begin to fathom. Ephesians 3:19. How much more should we, as imperfect people, reach out to our spouse in grace, accepting them for who they are and assuring them that their friendship and secrets are safe with us? This may be an area where you failed in the past. If so, don't expect your mate to immediately give you wide open access to their heart. You must begin to rebuild trust slowly. To stop avoiding them and start talking. To listen compassionately, accept them more genuinely, and then love them more deeply. Jesus himself is described as one who doesn't barge into people's lives, but who stands at the door and knocks. He said, "If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him, and he with me." Revelation 3:20. The reality of intimacy always takes time to develop, especially after being compromised. but it is worth the endless treasures found beneath its guarded lock. Your loving commitment to re-establishing it may be the key to opening it, for anyone willing to take the dare. Today's dare. Begin building emotional intimacy with your mate. Determine today to guard your mate's secrets, unless they are dangerous to them or to you, and to pray for them. Talk with your spouse and listen with acceptance, opening up to them as well. Make them feel safe. Record your answers to these questions in your journal. Given that the safer people feel, the more they open up, what does this say about your marriage in the past? How hard is it for you to listen and hold back from saying something, critical or otherwise? What have you learned about your spouse today, simply from listening? I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. Song of Solomon 6:3. Day 18. Love seeks to understand. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. Proverbs 3:13. We enjoy discovering as much as we can about the things we truly care about. If it's our favorite football team, we'll read any article that helps us keep up with how they're doing. If it's cooking, we'll check out those channels or websites that share the best grilling techniques or dessert recipes. If there's a subject that appeals to us, we'll take notice anytime it comes up. In fact, it naturally becomes our area of personal study. It's fine, of course, to have various interests and become knowledgeable about specific areas of preference. But this is where love would ask the question, how much do you know about your mate? Think back to the days when you were courting. Didn't you study the one your heart was yearning for? When a man is trying to win the heart of a woman, he studies her. He learns her likes, dislikes, habits, and hobbies. But after he wins her heart and marries her, he often stops learning about her. The mystery and challenge of knowing her seems less intriguing, and he finds his interests drifting to other areas. This is also true in many cases for women, who start off admiring and building respect for the man they desire to be with. But after marriage, those feelings begin to fade as reality reveals that her prince is a flawed and imperfect man. Yet there are many good things still to be discovered about your spouse, and this understanding will help draw you closer together. It can even give you favor in the eyes of your mate. Good understanding produces favor. Proverbs 13:15. Consider the following perspective. If the amount you studied your spouse before marriage were equal to a high school diploma, then you should continue to learn about your mate until you gained a college degree, a master's degree, and ultimately a doctorate degree. Think of it as a lifelong journey that draws your heart ever closer to your mate. Do you know his or her greatest hopes and dreams? Do you fully understand how they prefer to give and receive love? Do you know what your spouse's greatest fears are and why they struggle with them? Some of the problems you have in relating to your spouse are simply because you don't understand them. They probably react very differently to certain situations than you do, and you can't figure out why. These differences, even the ones that are relatively insignificant, can be the cause of many fights and conflicts in your marriage. That's because, as the Bible says, we tend to revile those things we don't understand. Jude 10. There are reasons for his or her tastes and preferences. Each nuance in your spouse's character has a backstory. Each element of who he is, how he thinks, and what he's like is couched in a set of guiding principles, which often makes sense only to the person who holds them. But it's worth the time it will take to study why they are the way they are. If you miss the level of intimacy you once shared with your spouse, one of the best ways to unlock their heart again is by making a commitment to know them, study them, read them like a book you're trying to understand, a treasure chest to be unlocked. Ask questions. The Bible says, "The ear of the wise seeks knowledge." Proverbs 18:15. Love takes the initiative to begin conversations. In order to get your mate to open up, they need to know that your desire for understanding them is real and genuine. Listen. A fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. Proverbs 18:2. The goal of understanding your mate is to hear them, not merely to tell them what you think. Even if your spouse is not very talkative, love calls you to draw out the deep water that dwells within them. Proverbs 25. Ask God for discernment. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 2:6. Things like gender differences, family backgrounds, and varied life experiences can cloud your ability to know your mate's heart and motivations. But God is a giver of wisdom. He can show you what you need in order to know how to love your spouse better. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Proverbs 24, 3-4. There is a depth of beauty and meaning inside your wife or husband that will amaze you as you discover more of it. Enter the mystery with expectation and enthusiasm. Desire to know this person even better than you do now. Make him or her your chosen field of study, and you will fill your home with the kind of riches only love can provide. Today's Dare. Prepare a special dinner at home, just for the two of you. The dinner can be as nice as you prefer. Focus this time on getting to know your spouse better, perhaps in areas you've rarely talked about. Determine to make it an enjoyable evening for you and your mate. Record your answers to these questions in your journal. What did you learn about your spouse that you didn't know before? How could you continue this process of discovery in other ways, at other times? What were some of the moments that made this evening memorable? Acquire wisdom, and with all your acquiring, get understanding. Proverbs 4:7. Day 19. Love is impossible. Let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. 1 John 4:7. The love dare starts with a secret. And though it's been an unspoken element throughout each day, you've likely grown more and more aware of it all the time. The secret is this. You cannot manufacture unconditional love, agape love, out of your own imperfect heart. It's impossible. It's beyond your natural ability. It's beyond all of our capabilities. You may not want to believe that. You may be convinced that with enough hard work and commitment, you can muster up unstoppable, lifelong, and sacrificial love from within. And while, yes, you may be able to demonstrate kindness and patience at times, and while you may have learned to be more thoughtful and considerate than before, the task of sincerely and consistently loving someone unselfishly and unconditionally is another matter altogether. How many times, for example, has your love failed to keep you from deceiving or manipulating, from lusting or envying, from overreacting or exaggerating, or from thinking judgmental or unkind thoughts? How many times has your love proven incapable of controlling your anger? How many times has your love failed to motivate you to willingly apologize, fully forgive, or bring about a peaceable end to an ongoing argument? It's this failure that exposes mankind's sinful condition, our own sinful condition. We've all fallen short of God's standards and commands, Romans 3:23. We've all demonstrated selfishness, hatred, and pride. And unless something is done to cleanse us of these ungodlike attributes, we will all stand before God displeasing to him. Psalms 5:4. Guilty as charged. Romans 6:23. That's why if you're not in a right relationship with God, you cannot truly love your spouse, because he is the source of that love. You can't give what you don't have. You can't call up reserves that aren't already there. Selfish springs do not produce selfless water. Just as you can't give away $1 million that you don't have, You cannot pay out love in greater measure than you own. You can try, but you will fail. Love that is faithfully pure and able to withstand every pressure is out of your reach, as long as you're only looking within yourself to find it. You need another source. You need someone to give you that kind of love. But here's the good news. Because of God's great love for you and His love for your spouse, He has made a way to express His love through you. Love is from God. 1 John 4:7. The scriptures consistently communicate that the way we discover love is by turning to God's Son, Jesus Christ, who was sent to earth to be both the example and source of perfect love. It is only when we turn away from our selfishness and sincerely ask Jesus to step into our lives and take control of us that our deepest need for love is met and our greatest ability to love begins. Like a branch disconnected from the vine, Jesus said, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." John 15:5. This includes loving your spouse unconditionally. "But if you abide in me," he went on to say, "and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." John 15:7. That word "abide" means to stay relationally close. This is not religious jargon, but a spiritual invitation. By entering into a daily relationship with Jesus, you can know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Ephesians 3:19. You can then love unconditionally. By surrendering yourself to Christ, His power can work through you. He is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Ephesians 3:20. That's how you love your spouse. So your inadequacy and inability, as defeating as they may feel, have a happy ending if you will reach out in faith and receive the love God has for you. Then the love He has poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us, Romans 5:5, will always be available to you, every time you admit your inadequacy and trust in His ability. You simply won't be able to do it without Him. But people are constantly discovering that they can, with Him. Perhaps you've never given your heart to Christ, but you sense Him drawing you today. You may be realizing for the first time that you, too, have broken God's commands, and that your guilt will keep you from knowing Him. But Scripture says that if you repent by turning away from your sin and turning to God, He is willing to forgive you because of the sacrifice His Son made through His death on the cross. He is pursuing you, not to enslave you, but to free you, so you can receive His love and forgiveness. Then you can share it with the one you've been called most specifically to love. Perhaps you're already a believer, but you would admit that you have walked away from fellowship with God. You're not in the Word. You're not in prayer. Maybe you're not even in church anymore. The love you used to feel coursing through your veins has dwindled into apathy. The truth is, you cannot live without Him, and you cannot love without Him. But there is no telling what He could do in your marriage if you choose to put your trust in Him. Today's dare. Look back over the dares from previous days. Do they reveal a difficulty in your ability to love your spouse? Did some seem impossible? Have you realized your need for God to change your heart and give you His ability to love? Ask Him to show you where you stand with Him and to give you the grace to seek Him, find Him, and walk with Him. Record your answers to these questions in your journal. What do you believe God is saying to you? Is there a stirring in your heart? What decision have you made in response to this? This is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Matthew 19:26. Day 20. Love is Jesus Christ. While we were still helpless, At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Romans 5:6. Do you feel loved by God? You should. Deeply. You will never fully love others until you first grasp His love for you personally. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. 1 John 4:8. God not only loved you in how He created you and has provided every breath and sustained your life, but He loved you the most through the gift of His Son. The most famous verse in the Bible says this: "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." John 3:16. For centuries, millions of people around the world have found God's love and a relationship with Him through these truths. Truths that summarize God's great love for you personally and His greatest offer to you now. Jesus has come to seek and to save you. Luke 19:10. But from what? The Bible explains we are each born in a selfish state that is bent toward sin. Psalms 51:5. Then we by our own choosing become prideful, deceitful, hateful, lustful, resistant to authority, and ungrateful, neither fearing God or knowing God. Romans 3:9-20. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment. Isaiah 64:6. But God looked down on the earth and saw mankind in our ignorance and dirty condition. Psalms 14:2-3. He knew that without His intervention, we would have no hope of purifying ourselves or becoming good enough to walk with Him or spend an eternity with Him in heaven. He also knew that His justice would require judgment upon our sin. Romans 6:23. It's not as though God sends innocent people to hell. We stand guilty. We deserve it. Every last one of us. Ephesians 2:1-7. However, in His love and mercy, God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. 1 John 4:9. Jesus Christ bore our sins in His body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. 1 Peter 2:24. By His death, Jesus forever made invalid the very idea that you are not loved. If you ever feel unloved, you're not looking at the cross. He proved His love for you there. Love this deep cannot be fully understood. One will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:7-8. Nor can love like this be earned. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. But it must be received. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:9. And when you have received this new life and love as your own, you are enabled to love in ways you've never been capable of loving before. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. This is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. 1 John 3:16-23. Every failure in your life, all the good you haven't been able to do, every minute you've wasted, all of it can be forgiven and made right by putting your life into the hands of the one who first gave His love and life for you. Maybe you've never done this. Then today is your day. Now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Maybe you did it years ago, but you've wandered far from your spiritual roots. Then repent and return, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Acts 3:19. He was willing to love you even though you didn't deserve it, even when you didn't love back. He saw all your flaws and still chose to love you. His love made the greatest sacrifice to meet your greatest need. As a result, you are able, by His grace, to walk in the fullness and blessing of His love. Now and forever. And then you can experience and share the same love with your spouse. You can love even when you're not loved in return. You can see all their flaws and imperfections and still choose to love. And you can become His instrument, one of the most personal ways He meets the needs of your spouse. As a result, they can walk in the fullness and blessing of your love, now and till death. True love is found in Jesus Christ. And after you have received His loving gift of new life, His sacrificial death in your place, and His forgiveness for your sins, then you are finally ready to live the dare. Today's dare. Dare to trust what God is saying to you through His Word. Dare to trust Jesus Christ for your salvation. Dare to pray, "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, but You have shown Your love for me by dying to forgive my sins, and You have proven Your power to save me from death by Your resurrection. Lord, change my heart and save me by Your grace. Fill me with Your love." Record your answers to these questions in your journal. Write about what this experience has been like for you. Even if you are only renewing your commitment to receive and express His love, what has He shown you today? In His love and in His mercy, He redeemed them. Isaiah 63:9. Day 21. Love is satisfied in God. The Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire. Isaiah 58:11. Day 20 was a vitally important day in the love dare, and hopefully in your life, as we discuss the glaring need of every human heart. You may have already known or just come to realize that nothing in your toolbox of talents and resources could wash away the stains or repair the damage that sin has left behind, and that Jesus is the one sent by God to supply what you've been missing. If you've received Him by faith and have turned your life over to Him to lead, then His Holy Spirit, this very moment, is renewing and filling your heart. His grace and power can now be released into everything you do, including, not the least, your own marriage. But whether this is new territory for you, or you've long been a follower of Jesus, now is the time to firm up one thing in your mind. You need God every single day, because He alone can satisfy. Walking with Him is not a part-time proposition. Too often people think money, fame, accomplishment, or power will make them happy. King Solomon attained all of these things in great measure and repeatedly discovered that all was vanity and striving after wind. Ecclesiastes 2:1-25. He concluded that since all good things come from God's hand, who can have enjoyment without Him? Verse 25. And yet, whenever we feel low on happiness, we often think it's because of something we want but don't have. We don't realize that God did not create things on earth that can satisfy us more than He does, even our spouses. He formed the longings within us so that we would seek Him and be filled with His heavenly supply. True and lasting love, joy, and peace are found only in Him. Galatians 5:22. Your husband may be late coming home, again, but God will always be right on time. Your wife may have let you down, again, but God can always be trusted to deliver on His promises. Every day you place expectations on your spouse. Sometimes they meet them, sometimes they don't. But never will they be able to satisfy totally all the demands you ask of them, partly because some of your demands are unreasonable, and partly because your mate is only human. God, however, is not. and those who approach him in utter dependence each day for the real needs in their lives are the ones who find out just how dependable he is. Can your spouse give you inner peace? No, but God can. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:6-7. Can your spouse enable you to be content no matter what life throws at you? No, but God can. I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am, the Apostle Paul said. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Philippians 4:11-13. So stop expecting someone or something to keep you functioning and fulfilled on a non-stop basis. It's not fun for you or fair to them. Only God can supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus, as you learn to depend on him. Philippians 4:19. Your needs for love, intimacy, acceptance, peace, joy, and adequacy are real. No one is saying you shouldn't have them. But rather than trying to fill them by plugging into things that are unstable at best and are subject to change, your health, your money, even the affections and best intentions of your mate, plug into God instead. He's the only one in your life who never changes. His faithfulness, truth, and promises to his children will always remain. That's why you need to seek him every day. When you pursue happiness through earthly things, you end up missing God and not being happy either. But when you lose yourself in the pursuit of loving and pleasing him, you not only get an intimate relationship with God, but he also gives you happiness as gravy on the side. The Bible says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Psalms 37:4. When you are seeking him first, loving him first, making your relationship with him top priority, he promises to supply you with what you really need, which actually is all it really takes to satisfy you. Jesus once spoke to a woman at a Samaritan well who had tried getting her needs met through 5 different failed marriages. But standing there before him with both her life and her water bucket empty, she found in Christ what he called living water. John 4:10. A supply that wasn't just for quenching temporary thirst. He offered her a drink of soul satisfaction that never quits giving and refreshing. And this is what's available to you at each sunrise and each night before bed, no matter who your spouse is or what they've done to you. In your presence is fullness of joy, King David wrote to God. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. Psalms 16:11. God is your everyday supply of everything you need. Today's Dare. Be intentional today about making a time to pray and read your Bible. Try reading a chapter out of Psalms or Proverbs each day, or reading a chapter in the Gospel book of John. As you do, immerse yourself in God's love and find rest in the promises and peace he has for you. This will add to your growth as you walk with him. Record your answers to these questions in your journal. How do you think spending time daily with God will change your situation and perspective? How can you make him a bigger part of your day? You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Psalms 145:16. Day 22. Love is faithful. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. Then you will know the Lord. Hosea 2:20. As Christians, love is the basis of our whole identity. As God's children, he gives us the name Beloved, which means we are ones who are unconditionally loved by God. The focus of our lives becomes loving God and loving others. Jesus clarified God's greatest command for us by saying, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Luke 10:27. Our love for each other is supposed to be how people distinguish us as Christ's disciples. John 13:35. It is the root and ground of our existence. Ephesians 3:17. Meant to be expressed with passion and fervency. 1 Peter 4:8. Love is an exercise we are to abound in more and more. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. Always getting better at it, becoming increasingly defined by it. So if love is what we were created to share, what do you do when your love is rejected? How do you handle it when the one to whom you've pledged your life stops accepting the love you're called to give? The account of the prophet Hosea is one of the most remarkable in the Bible. Against all logic and propriety, God instructed him to marry a prostitute. He wanted Hosea's marriage to show what heaven's unconditional love looks like toward us. Hosea's union with Gomer produced 3 children, but as expected, this woman who had long made her living in immorality was not content to stay faithful to one man. So Hosea was left to deal with a broken heart and the shame of abandonment. He had loved her, but she had spurned his love. They had grown close, but now she had been disloyal and adulterous, rejecting him for the lust of total strangers. Time passed, and God spoke to Hosea again, telling him to go and reaffirm his love for this woman who had been repeatedly unfaithful. By now, however, she had reached a new low and was being sold as a dirty, unwanted slave. But Hosea paid the price for her redemption and brought her home. Yes, she had treated his love with contempt. She had dealt treacherously with his heart, yet he welcomed her back into his life, expressing an unconditional love toward her. This is a true story, but God used it to paint a lasting picture of his love for us. Through Hosea's actions, we see a God who showers his favor on us without measure, though we often don't pay attention in return. At times we have acted shamefully and deemed his love an intrusion, as if it is keeping us from what we really want. We have rejected him in many ways, even after receiving his gift of eternal salvation. And yet he still loves us. He still remains faithful. Even so, his love doesn't keep him from calling us to account for our mistreatment of him. We pay more of a price for our rejection than we often realize. Yet he still chooses to respond with grace and mercy. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1:7. In him we have the model of what rejected love does. It stays faithful. Jesus called his followers to this kind of love in the passage known as the Sermon on the Mount. He said to love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Luke 6:27-28. After all, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. Luke 6:32-33. He said, love your enemies and do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Luke 6:35. From the vantage point of the wedding altar, you would never have dreamed that the person you married might later become to you a kind of enemy, one you would need to love as a difficult and even painful sacrifice. And yet far too often in marriage, the relationship does indeed dwindle down to that level, even to the point of betrayal, or sadly, to unfaithfulness. For many, this is the beginning of the end. Some respond by rapidly moving toward a tragic divorce. Others, more protective of their reputation in the eyes of others, decide to keep the charade going. but they have no intention of liking it or trying any harder, much less of truly loving again. This is not the model, however, for the follower of Christ. If love is to be like His, it must love even when its overtures are returned unwanted. And for your love to be like that, it must be His love to begin with. The reason why you still have hope of giving undeserved love to your spouse is because God has given His undeserved love to you, repeatedly, enduringly. Love is often expressed the most to those who deserve it the least. Ask Him to fill you with the kind of love only He can provide. Then propose to give it to your mate in a way that reflects your gratefulness to God for loving you. That's the beauty of redeeming love. That's the power of faithfulness. Today's Dare. Love is a choice, not a feeling. It is an initiated action, not an impulsive reaction. Choose today to be committed to love, even if your spouse has lost most of their interest in receiving it. Say to them today, in words similar to these, "I love you, period. And no matter what you do, I will never stop loving you." Record your answers to these questions in your journal. Why is this kind of love impossible without the love of Christ beating in your heart? How does His presence within you enable you to love, even when it's primarily one-sided? I have chosen the faithful way. Psalms 119:30. Day 23. Love always protects. Love always protects. 1 Corinthians 13:7. No couple gets married as enemies. They tie the knot filled with hopes of a lifetime of love. But the high rate of divorce reveals that after a couple walks down the aisle, they are stepping into a minefield of marital obstacles that can take either of them down. Sadly, every marriage has enemies out there. That's why love compels us to be on the alert and guard what is most dear and precious to us, to be willing to step up and fight some battles passionately, those that pertain to protecting our spouse and the strength of our union. Many things could destroy our relationship unless our love puts on armor and picks up a sword to protect its own. Here, for example, are just a few of the potential attacks you need to be aware of and engaged in, constantly protecting your mate and your marriage. Responsibility, not passivity, is the key to guarding against the following issues. Misplaced priorities. Any good thing has the potential to become a harmful thing if it becomes an all-consuming thing. Friends, hobbies, and work schedules must be kept in balance and in their proper place. You can't protect your home when you're rarely there, nor when you're relationally disconnected. Even your children, while obviously a key priority, should be raised on the foundation of your strong marriage. When parents invert this and prioritize the kids above their marriage, they actually hurt their children in the long run, as the marriage is weakened. One of the most commonly heard excuses for divorce is that it's best for the children. But what's best for the children is seeing their mom and dad demonstrate unconditional love for each other, keep their commitments, work out their differences, forgive, and preserve a legacy of endurance. Unhealthy relationships. Not everyone has the material to be a good friend. Not every man you hunt and fish with speaks wisely when it comes to matters of marriage. Not every woman in your lunch group has a perfect perspective on commitment and priorities. In fact, anyone who undermines your marriage does not deserve the right to whisper in your ear. Harmful influences. Are you allowing certain habits to poison your home? Technology, television, and the internet can be productive and enjoyable additions to your life, but they can also invite destructive content into your home and drain away precious, countless hours from your family. Be careful and cautious of anything that could deaden your mind or steal your time. Sexual temptation. Be on guard at all times from allowing opposite-sex relationships, at work, at the gym, even at church, to draw you emotionally away from the one to whom you've already given your heart. many divorces are now resulting from unguarded use of social networking sites. Staring at smiling pictures of old friends and old flames can hook you emotionally and deceptively lure your heart away from the love of your life and into a danger zone. Any relationship that is drawing your affection away from your spouse has already gone too far. Wisdom says to be extra guarded around those you find most appealing and attractive. They should be kept at a greater emotional distance. Why? Your love is why. Shame. Everyone deals with some level of inferiority and weakness. And because marriage has a way of exposing it all to you and your mate, you need to protect your wife or your husband's vulnerability by never speaking negatively about them in public. Their secrets are your secrets. Unless, of course, these involve destructive behaviors that are putting you, your children, or themselves in grave danger. Generally speaking, love hides the fault of others. It covers their shame. Parasites. Watch out for parasites. A parasite is anything that latches onto you or your partner and sucks the life out of your marriage. They're usually in the form of addictions, like gambling, drugs, or pornography. They promise pleasure, but grow like a disease and consume more and more of your thoughts, time, and money. They steal away your loyalty and heart from those you love. Marriages rarely survive if parasites are present. If you love your spouse, you must destroy any addiction that has your heart. If you don't, it will destroy you. So, as a wife, realize you have a role as protector in your marriage. You must guard your heart from being led away through any novels, magazines, and other forms of entertainment that blur your perception of reality and put unfair expectations on your husband. Do your part in helping him feel strong, while avoiding talk show thinking that lures your attention away from your family. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands. Proverbs 14:1. And husbands, you are the head of your home. You are the one responsible before God for guarding the gate and standing your ground against anything that would threaten your wife or marriage. This is no small assignment. It requires a heart of courage and a head for preemptive action. Jesus said, "If the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into." Matthew 24:43. This role is yours. Take it seriously. Today's dare. Remove anything that is hindering your relationship, any addiction or influence that is stealing your affections and turning your heart away from your spouse. Record your answers to these questions in your journal